It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I'm gonna hit that button, and I am incredibly disappointed to learn today that I already talked on the podcast about when I had my pants on backwards.
You did?
Apparently. My boss thought I did. Do you not remember this?
Not on the podcast.
Holy crap. All right, then. Maybe I didn't. Maybe my boss is a jerk. Sometimes she's a jerk. I think we've
all I remember that. You talking about an email. That's all I remember. All
right, yeah. So, wore my pants backwards till 10 a.m. on a work day. Like, put things in the... Okay, I should specify. These are jeans. I put them on backwards. I put my wallet and my keys in the front pockets, which were actually the back pockets.
Mm.
I drove to work, went to my desk, sat down, and proceeded to work. I did at some point mention to my wife that they fit weird that day. But I assumed it was because I had been in, like, shorts all weekend. I only found out at 10 because I went to the bathroom, and when I went to pull up my jeans, I was like, this is the wrong side of the jeans. So presumably if I just hadn't had to go, I would have made it longer.
Hmm.
I ask you, William, as I ask humanity, how did this happen?
I don't know.
How?
It seems impossible.
When I saw it, especially the keys and the wallet, I'm like, how did this not... They're not remotely in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in my lifetime, including my parents, have called me intelligent. I feel like nobody can do that anymore. I feel like can't dress oneself... due to no physical limitations that one knows of, kicks you out of the intelligent category.
Really, you think so? I mean, isn't it kind of a...
William, I wore my pants backwards.
Yeah, but there's...
For like 2 hours with stuff in them.
There's a stereotype of really smart people having
backwards.
Problems like this. You know, like wearing their shirt inside out. They're absent-minded, you know? Professor
routine.
Oh,
great, so I'm as smart as Jerry Lewis. I don't know that I feel... That's better. The dude who coined the phrase "women aren't funny." Yeah, that's who I want to be as smart as. Holy crap! Speaking of dead people who were kind of annoying when they were alive, Joe Jackson died. I should specify. Joe, I beat my children until they became the Jackson Five. Jackson died. Yeah, I did this with somebody else, and they were like, "Oh, different." I was like, "Sorry, there's a lot of Joe Jacksons." Specifically. Joe, apparently greatest music manager of all time. He won an award to that effect at some point. But mostly is known to have abused his children until they became really maladjusted stars. Died.
I didn't know he was still alive.
Yeah. It was like 89, I think.
Mm.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Backward Pants and the Death Hour. I'm your host, Backward Pants, and with me is the Death Hour.
The Death what?
Hour.
I'm the Death Hour?
Do you want to be Backward Pants?
What does Death Hour mean?
It's an hour of death. It's just death for an hour.
That sounds terrible.
You want to be Backward Pants?
Could I be death for a
second? No, these are your options. There is no middle ground. Backward Pants... Death Hour. This is the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that has debates over who's going to be Backward Pants and who's going to be the Death Hour. It's like Simon and Simon if they weren't brothers and didn't solve crimes and were really pretty stupid. And called Backward Pants and Death Hour. So, like, yeah. What I'm saying is William looks like Gerald McCraney. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We've known this for years. Hmm. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 381.
381. Goodness gracious. And it's been 2 weeks for us. For you guys, it's been a week. So see, the time travel, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like first, we're ahead, and then you're ahead. And then we all meet back here.
Yep.
So hello. Welcome back to here.
Death Hour.
Backward Pants. Hey, if we don't come up with anything better, that's a great title for the episode.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely within our oeuvre for episode titles.
I've had worse nicknames, I'm going to tell you.
I've given you worse nicknames.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever, Dairy Queen.
I think I'll take it.
I mean, how's it going, Death Hour? I made a mistake.
It was only 30 minutes.
So those of you who are just joining us.
Death Half Hour.
This is how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, good people who listen and who finally, after somebody begs for like 4 weeks, do it. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. Good job, all of you. Thank you very much. Without you, those last 10 minutes would not be the same. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's eccentric in the sense that we wear our pants backwards. Servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the show, except for the parts that aren't like that, which is most of it. So how was your 2 weeks? How was the birthday going to the fanciest of dinners? The fanciest.
Boy, now, that's funny, because now I don't remember what we did.
Holy crap.
We might have watched Game of Thrones all night or something. Which would be perfectly.
Got that disc?
Which would be perfectly fine for her because, as I keep saying, she's a huge fan of Emilia Clarke now. We've watched 3 seasons of the show.
Wow. You have moved along.
Not really. It seems like it takes forever for 3 discs to come. You send them back and then it's a long time before the 3 discs come. And if they don't come before the weekend, then you don't watch them over the weekend.
Yeah,
so.
But that's the equivalent of like 5 years in people actually watching it live.
I suppose. Now, the interesting thing about the show so far. Okay, first of all, you might not know this about Game of Thrones, and maybe nobody else knows this either. But
even people who watched it.
Yeah, even people who watch it might not know this. But the ratings for the show are actually through the roof.
I think we knew that.
Well, but it's gone up every season since it started.
Ah.
So if you look, Wiki has actually a great graph showing this. It shows the rating for every single show. And if you look at season one, the ratings aren't great, but they're pretty good. And then the next season, the bar graph, you can see that the lowest rated episode in season two is at or above the rating of the highest rated show in season one. And that trend keeps going clear through to season six. Season five has a weird dip in it for some reason. I don't know why. I don't suspect it's because something happened in season five that made people mad.
There may have been a timing issue when it aired.
The Olympics was airing, so people DVR'd it or something like that. That's what I suspect happened. But for the most part, year after year after year, the lowest rated episode of the season is at or higher than the highest rated season of the episode of the previous season. Mm. That is impressive for that kind of ratings climb.
And from what I know, they work at it, and every year, especially in terms of special effects, gets bigger and crazier.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they've earned a bigger budget the next year and everything else. And production values are good. I have to say that.
And they keep adding to the cast. It's the ultimate ensemble show. In that they keep bringing in new characters and more people show up, and some of them die, and then new ones show up.
So far with three seasons, the writing has improved each successive season.
That's nice.
The acting is always... the actors always do a good job.
Yeah.
But they weren't given very much to work with in the first season, I didn't feel like. The second season improved a little bit. The third season was actually quite good from a writing perspective. So, you know, it's gotten better. I wouldn't say structure and plot and theme-wise it's improved. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
There are no surprises in it at all, which season three...
I was going to say, have you hit Red Wedding yet?
Look, if a Game of Thrones fan can give you the name of one episode, that's the episode
yes,
they can
it
name.
Is.
And yes, we have seen that episode.
You were not surprised.
I didn't know that episode existed. I didn't know that's what the episode was called while I was watching it. But three or four episodes before it happened, I predicted it was going to happen.
Okay.
Because it had to happen. As soon as...
Well, I know very little about it.
Well, so. I'll just tell you this. As soon as you knew the event of that episode was going to happen, you knew what was going to happen at that event because all the rules of the world that have been established are tell you that's going to happen.
All right. Well, see, you're on the upper end here because there are tons and tons of videos of people watching that episode in absolute shock.
Which I can't understand that because not only did I know it was going to happen, if it didn't happen, it would have been stupid. If they didn't do what they did in that episode, it would have been completely dumb, and it would made everything that came before it not make any sense. It had to happen. And so when it happened, you're like, okay, sure, it happened. And I did find out later that what I just told you, that most people know that episode, that's
yep.
the one they can name, and that was a turning
and there's,
point.
There's a bunch of reaction videos.
Yeah,
to it
and they were
and stuff,
surprised
yeah.
by it. I can't believe that because now, granted, I'm binge watching this, right? So
that probably helps.
That probably helps because I'm, you know, everything is hooked together and I'm seeing it one after the other, at least, or there's like a 2-day gap and I'll continue to watch the thing. But I mean, most of the stuff that they have
I feel I should pause for a moment here just to tell you here when it's just you and me and the entire internet, you know, it's fine. But in the future, if you're talking with people like about Game of Thrones who've all watched it, you might want to not push so hard on the how obvious it was to you, because it sounds like it was not obvious to a lot of people, and that can come off as making them feel less smart.
Well, I don't want to do that. Like I said, it's
that's
probably...
I get in the it. Future, you may want to watch out for that.
I get it.
I don't know, and I don't care.
I'm sure the fact I'm binge-watching it makes a huge difference. But, you know, also, as I'm watching it, you know, I see a lot of nods to Arthurian lore and War of the Roses, you know, and historical
things like that.
And it's not done very well. I mean, if someone told me, oh, there's a lot of allusions to Arthur and the War of the Roses and certain things in British history, I'd want to see that. I'd think, oh, that's interesting. And it's not done very well, in my opinion. And again, for people who were surprised by it, it probably just has to do with the fact that I was binge watching it and, you know, you can just see things coming a lot easier when you do that. And I'll also say this. When I don't binge watch something, when I just watch it on TV like everybody else, I almost never see things coming because I don't remember things that happened in the previous episode. So that's one of the reasons I like binge watching, is because I can remember what happened. Because when I just watch something and wait a week, I've forgotten everything from the previous week. And I never see anything coming that
That's long. Okay. New shows nowadays always have a previously on, and they only show you past scenes that will matter.
Which
is always fun, because you're like, why are you dragging this scene up from three seasons ago? Apparently, actually, Game of Thrones does that really bad. There's a couple of times where it's like season six, and they show you a scene from season one, and you're like, what? And it's like, oh, because this character's back.
Yep. Or this is going to matter.
I loved when we were watching some Lucifer stuff. I was like, wow. They have really kept... This episode's going to hit on a lot of plot threads, because we have a lot of previously ons that are all over the place.
Well, the fun thing is with the videos is when you get the videos or buy them or whatever, they don't have the recaps.
Oh.
But you can watch them separate if you elect to.
I think Netflix sometimes does a thing where if you're watching them automatically... No, where it does it. Like, I think I've had a couple... I think maybe when we were watching BSG, like, if you let it automatically play the next one, it doesn't give you, the same intro, basically.
Right.
And nowadays, there's that button. You can always skip it.
Yeah, you can watch the recaps if you want, but if you just play the video, it won't show you the recap. And there have been times where we've watched an episode and it confused us, so then we'd watch the recap because we must have forgot something. But I don't mean to insult anyone's intelligence who were surprised by it. I just thought it was pretty obvious for me as someone who was binge watching it. And so far I'm really not impressed with the show. I don't really understand its status as a cultural touchstone, but it clearly is that. But of course I don't understand it. I never do understand these things.
In my opinion, if you have really good production values, which it sounds like this does.
Yeah, it does. And the acting is good. I mean, the acting is
a complex mythology, which I feel like, I'm not saying good necessarily, just there's a lot of bits to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, sure.
And a broadcast of largely great performers.
Yeah, I'd say that's true.
Those three components will make anything a huge hit.
Well, and then you have to...
Heck, that's Dean Devlin's entire career is based off of that.
Yeah.
Leverage, Warehouse 13, all these ones I talked about that I love, let's be honest, they're not that good, but they have these deep mythologies, and they're pretty good production values, and they have a cast that just performs really well together.
Well, I think probably it's strength for the average audience, and why it doesn't work on me, because I'm not into this kind of story, is, you know, it's very much built to give you someone to root for.
Yeah.
And not just the superficial sense of Game of Thrones, like, who's going to win? Because the political intrigue is actually not very interesting. But more along the lines of the characters themselves, specific characters who you might think of as an underdog or as someone who's really had to fight their way to where they've gotten. The intrigue might not be
interesting. And everybody very much has their favorites, and they ship certain people.
That's exactly right. It very much.
And it sounds like that has to change over time, because I think various people's position morally shifts a great deal throughout the series. But
well, yeah, but I mean, I think what I find interesting is as I go along, and then I try to find out what people said about such and such after, you know, I try to catch up with what the conversation was 3 years ago or whatever when people watch this. And I'm fascinated by what characters people actually decide they like. Mm. It surprises me a little bit because a lot of times the characters they like are like good, honorable characters, which I thought had sort of fallen out of fashion. I thought people kind of liked conniving characters or snarky characters better.
I think it is on the verge of coming around. I think we played the anti-hero. It's a dead horse now, and we're just beating the shit out of it. I think there's a little bit of coming back around. But it is hard to say. Well, and if you make the honorable character cool enough, they'll go for it.
And I have to say, Peter Dinklage does such a great job. I mean, there is amazing nuance to his character and performance. It's just, it's pretty impressive.
The man is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, I just can't believe how good he is.
He is in a lot of different things, some of which I do not like, some of which I love. He's very prolific, but he never doesn't do an incredible job.
He's just fantastic.
And I've talked about this before, and I know this is really weird, but, like, he's not a little person actor. Because you get shoehorned in a lot of ways. And he still has some of that, but there have been definite roles where you're like, there was no need for that to be a little person. We don't talk about that it's a little person. It just is cast by him, and he does an amazing job.
Right, that's exactly right.
And I love that, and he's proven himself time and time and time again, and he is frequently a favorite. I think in both, the character's a favorite in the books, and he's definitely a favorite in the show.
He just does an outstanding job. And lots of other people do too, but I mean, when there's a scene with him, I mean, he just brings so much, I don't know, the way he delivers his lines and his expressions he uses, he's just, I mean, that's true for any actor, I know, but he's just very effective. He just really draws you in. And he's not a character that resonates particularly with me or that I like very much.
Because you're very tall.
No, he's a, you know, he's a carouser and he drinks and he's concerned about money and things like that. But he's also, there's a lot of, he plays the character in a very sympathetic and lovable rogue kind of way.
Exactly, yeah.
Which again, not a character that I typically resonates with me, but he does a fantastic job in every single scene. It's just amazing. But, you know, everyone else is doing a good job, too. But he's really raising the level of it's kind of like how Sir Alec Guinness takes Star Wars and just by being there just sort of raises the level of it. That's what Peter Dinklage does really for the whole show, I think. Even though everyone does a good job, I'm not saying that they don't. His performance is kind of next level in a way that I don't think
some of the Craig people sort of talked about that in later seasons. They're like, they keep pushing, you know, these giant battles and dragons and all this cool stuff. He's like, my favorite scenes are the scenes where like Tyrion and this person are just sitting around at a table talking for like half the episode, and that's the episode I love. Like,
it's really good. And I mean, that's another interesting thing is you can have a scene where he's having a conversation with someone and they don't have to put anything in it to distract
the you don't have to be sex going in the background or dragons
or anything else.
Yeah,
you can just have the two people talking, and he is so good that you're fine with that.
Yeah,
it's really great. So I appreciate his performance, but I don't want to. All the other actors do a fine job too. It's okay. It's so far, I don't feel like I have to have ever watched this. Now, by the time I finish, maybe I'll have a different opinion. My wife loves it, mostly for certain characters. I do have to say, is Gwendolyn Christie? Is that her? Gwendolyn?
Mm.
She plays Phasma in Star Wars. And she,
oh, maybe. Yeah.
Is it, I hope I'm not getting her name wrong. She's in it, and she is really good.
I know whoever played Phasma, everybody was very excited about, and I didn't have any idea who that was.
Oh, man. She's really good in it.
I do know enough to know you may find Maisie Williams' character, Arya, has a very complicated plot line throughout the series that you may find interesting.
Okay.
I know some of the later stuff.
She's a little girl.
She's
first,
the youngest Stark, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least the young girl Stark.
Girl, right.
Yeah. And she's one of those, like, she seems like a good actress in what I've seen her in, but she's one of those who just in real life is an absolute delight.
Oh,
and
okay.
So that helps.
Well, that's one of the characters that my wife likes a lot. She likes, but here's another thing. So it's only 10 hour episodes each season.
Okay. Well, it gets less in some of the later ones. I think some of the later ones are like 8.
So three seasons done. It doesn't feel like there's been very much story.
Yeah.
There certainly hasn't been very much time elapsed, although the kids are a lot older than they should be. I mean,
yeah.
Right? Because they're aging 3 and 3.5, 4 years.
Yeah.
And yet only like weeks have passed in the story, and it's like, that's a little weird.
Slow down. Somebody put a brace on them.
But it's pretty, it's been all right.
I've finally jumped a little bit back into Legion. I've watched a few more episodes.
Yeah, we haven't seen the second season yet.
It's still interesting. All I know is the end of season 2 apparently freaked everybody out to the degree that AV Club wrote an article whose headline was, after it was done, where does Legion go from here and do we even want it to?
Hmm.
So I'm waiting for whatever the fuck that is. I actually saw an episode that I would say was actually a mediocre episode of Legion, which I did not think was possible. But it was fairly self-contained. It had its own sort of ending and message at the end, and I'm like, I mean, and it was flawlessly performed, but I was just like, for once, I feel like I could have skipped this episode and the show would be exactly the same. And I never have felt that about Legion, so that's weird. I assume now that you have your discs, she's not playing Horizon Zero Dawn at all.
No, she has to, because we get the discs, we watch all three of them in one sitting, and then so she's been playing it a lot.
I'm about 65 hours in.
I don't know how long she's been playing. I mean, she's at level 55 or something.
She's a higher level than me.
She's done the DLC already.
Okay.
Before finishing the rest
of
the game.
I think that's how I'm going to do it too, before the very end, basically. Yeah. So she's probably further than me. I only recently, at least in plot, found out the truth about everything.
Well, I don't know if she's found out the truth about everything. I mean, she's...
Well, I mean, there are bits and pieces, but there's a big thing of, like, how does the world look the way it looks today? How did that happen?
Well,
and there's two pieces to that. How did it get screwed up, and then how did it manifest as it is?
Well, she only just got to Meridian. Just got there.
And she's level 55.
Well, like I said, she did the whole DLC. It's pretty involved.
Yeah, and it's harder than most of the rest of the game. She just got to Meridian.
Yeah.
That's insane. The quest involving getting to Meridian, I believe, is level 12.
Yeah. Everything she faces now, she kills right away.
I'll bet she does. I've been feeling like a badass, and I'm hitting stuff that's only like I'm twice the level of what it's supposed to be. And even that's kind of ridiculous. And set on easy on my game, by the way.
Oh, hers is set on easy, too.
Holy crap. She did all the DLC before she went to Meridian.
Yeah.
She's playing it wrong.
She is, probably.
So much.
Well, and as someone who's watching it,
well, and she's got all the weird weapons you get from DLC that I don't have yet.
Unlike other games that you play that are open world and stuff and that are post-apocalyptic, and you learn what happened through finding things and whatnot.
Yeah.
Not a lot of that. So.
No, there will be once you actually follow the main plot.
Okay. Well, so far it's like, boy, this
basically,
is really light on story.
The proving happened. Yeah. And then you're supposed to go to Meridian.
Oh, okay. The proving happened, and she did tons of things. Lots of things.
Yeah, no. There is a very interesting, complex, and I think awesome plot to it. She just hasn't gotten to it yet.
Well,
that's hilarious.
It's a little disconcerting so far to be doing all this stuff, and I don't even know what's going on.
She's barely started that game, and yet she's almost done with that game.
Right? That's what I'm thinking.
That's amazing. No, I've been really enjoying it. The plot is very interesting. It's not. It hits a lot of tropes. But it's a new take on post-apocalyptic that I like. Honestly, they have managed to really take a lot with that character and make me like her. Originally, she was very boring, generic white girl in a world where there's like no other white people, and I did not like that. But they're really doing a good job of that. She's still a freaking kid, and her whole life has been struggle and what that means. And they also really play up to the fact that she's really good at what she does. There's a point in my game where something turns out to be a trick and it's an ambush. And she literally is telling all these grown men who have ambushed, which is like 10 guys. She's like, you obviously know me and you know what I'm capable of. Why did you possibly think this would end well for you? And sure enough, it does not. I murdered all of them.
Why did they choose to make it a white, red-haired girl?
Well, the plot explains some of it, but they still could have gone in other directions. I don't know.
I mean, the person voicing her is a mixed-race woman.
Is she? Oh, yeah. Wow. I don't know then.
She's got... I guess
I don't know.
I'm
other
sure.
people have been pleased because they're like, she's not perfect-looking. I'm like, yeah, but she's still a cute white girl. She's still definitely... could have been the star of a Disney Channel TV show.
Right.
But the character is coming out really good. Oh, and I will give you some advice, although by now you've done enough quests, you should probably run into it. When you finish a quest, stick around. Because frequently the NPCs involved have conversations. And some of them are very interesting. And some of them are hilarious. But some of them are also very interesting.
Okay.
There's a bit where... you literally end up basically convincing someone not to commit suicide. Convincing a teenager not to commit suicide. And you end up sort of reuniting them with their one surviving parent. And you stick around and hear some conversation after the quest is totally done. That's interesting. And then there's a different one where this mysterious person has me rescue this guy. And so I rescue him, and then she's going to go off with him. And they're just having conversations. And it's just hilarious stuff back and forth.
Also... we had some downtime because the disc hadn't come for
Game
of Thrones. And my wife read Treasure Island.
Oh, wow.
Because she...
So now Black Sails makes more sense.
Well, she...
Or less sense.
She liked... I don't remember if I said, but when she watched Black Sails, she really liked the Long John Silver character.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of unusual. She doesn't usually resonate with a male character.
I find him a very intriguing character.
So she really liked reading the book, kind of imagining that character, older, that same actor. And so she really liked it.
I find him of a complex morality and perspective that I haven't seen in most of the other classic literature I've read.
Well, I haven't read it yet. I look forward to it because, as you know, I'm a Robert Louis Stevenson fan.
Yes.
I didn't know about this book because they keep saying, oh, he wrote it for boys. What I can tell from what I've seen of it so far, though, is that writing for boys for him just meant a young male protagonist and maybe some more action.
It's like this thing that's come up recently when friends of mine are trying to tell me I should make Odd Wings young adult. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? And they're like, it just means making the protagonist younger. Because, like, we all think of young adult as they're all young people and they don't do all the things young people actually do. There's no sex, nobody swears, nobody gets killed, like that kind of thing in these stories. And the truth is, no, those are just the ones they make the fucking movies about.
Yeah.
There's tons of young adult fiction that deals with heavy stuff and real stuff and gritty stuff as much or more than a lot of adult fiction out there. It just is from the perspective of a younger protagonist.
Well, yeah, the younger protagonist, that's it.
And they sell very well.
Yeah.
They just don't all get movies made about them.
I mean, that's... And so I thought, you know, maybe he changed it some other ways, but that didn't make sense when I thought about it, because...
Especially in those days.
Yeah, back in his day, someone who had an eighth grade education could read really well.
Yeah, had
great reading comprehension, so you didn't have to, quote unquote, dumb it down or anything. It's just the fact that it's a young male protagonist and maybe some more action than his other books.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be just the same. And I love how he writes. So I look forward to reading it too. But she read it in like one sitting over like 3 or 4 hours.
Nice.
And she loved it. So.
Any movies?
Oh, that's a good question.
I thought so.
You know, I don't think so. I think we've been playing that video game and watching Game of Thrones. And a lot of the movies that we didn't see in the theater recently are at the end, you know, bottom of the queue after the after Game
like
of
what?
Thrones. It seems like there's some horror movies or
Quiet Place, Hereditary.
Yes, stuff. Quiet Place, I think, is at the, you know, after all the shows. So there are some films that have been out recently that we didn't see that we want to see on disc.
There was a sudden wave of a lot of movies I wanted to see, and then they came and went too fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll watch them after we're done with Game of Thrones.
We did go and see Incredibles 2.
Yeah, that's another one we'll wait for, probably. Was it any good?
Yes. My reaction to it is a complicated one.
Oh.
And it starts before I saw it. Because like everybody, I loved Incredibles. Incredibles was a great movie.
Yeah, I liked Incredibles.
And like everybody, I was really excited at the idea they were going to make another one.
Sure. Surprised it took so long.
Yeah. This is where we get somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Because it comes out, and we know we're going to go see it, so I'm thinking about that. And I realize, I kind of don't care. And it's this thing again of, you know, it's been 14 years.
Yeah, a long time.
And
weirdly long.
It's like the moment has passed. Like I'm not the same person. The world's not the same person. Is it possible that it updated? Maybe, but that seems unlikely because they had sort of a very static four-color world.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't. I mean, I said I was gonna see it or whatever, but and it turns out I was right. It is still a static four-color world because. It literally starts seconds after the last one ended.
Yeah.
Technically, there's a quick flash forward, but then we're immediately back to that moment when the Underminer is doing all of his shit at the end of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels weird to me. I mean, you know I have this thing about I don't like sequels way later afterwards and stuff like that. But also, I don't know. I get a very different vibe from a lot of things about The Incredibles than what I had back then.
Sure.
Mr. Incredible in particular, kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And it didn't register as strongly with me back then. And, you know, he learned lessons in the movie and became less of a dick.
Sure.
Incredibles 2, he's back to pretty much the same dick he was when he started. The movie's less about him, which is kind of nice. And actually what they do with him is not bad either. A lot more is focused on Elastigirl. And that's interesting. But the whole thing, we're again playing with what I can now see are very objectivist themes. And this is a thing that Brad Bird, who made these and made Iron Giant and some other stuff and then did some live action ones in between, has been known for, and people have talked about.
I didn't know that.
Well, and you can sort of see it in the first one, because the villain has become very sort of opposed to. His whole thing is, I'm going to give everybody superpowers, and then no one will be special.
Yeah, right, right.
And this,
I always thought that was weird, but I didn't quite know what it meant.
This follows a similar line, but it's, first of all, the story's a little muddier. And second of all, it's a little, the morality's a little less stark as it was in that one.
Okay.
There are aspects, but in a lot of ways, it's a very similar story. So that was weird for me. So I think in some ways I don't like it in the way that I couldn't have liked it in certain ways. That being said, it's gorgeous. There's awesome action scenes. Mm. There's plenty of hilarious bits. There are great lines to quote. In fact, there's one that is really good, and like I'm surprised they put it in there because it's a little telling about society in a way that I wouldn't think a Disney film would allow, but I can't say it because it's a little bit spoilery. So it's fun, and it's worth it. Go see it. It's great. It's a good time. Also, this movie taught me that Catherine Keener and Rashida Jones sound exactly alike. There's a character in this movie that I knew, like, not even, like, is that? I just knew that, oh, that's Rashida Jones. And it was one of those where the character even kind of looked like her, which I love when they do that in animated stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we're watching the credits, and no, it was Catherine Keener. Mm. Don't know how the fuck I did that. I mean, I've just seen Get Out again recently. But, yeah. It's good. And you get to spend a little time with other superheroes, and there are, some of them are just sort of silly. But there's some interesting stuff with that, too, and that's kind of fun. All the same voices are back except the kid, the one who did Dash changed, because I'm sure that kid now sounds like this. And, you know, Jack-Jack changed. Jack-Jack has a lot more time on his hands in this movie, and some of the best scenes are Jack-Jack scenes.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's weird that it's out now, but it's good. Like I said, playing out more Horizon, but, oh, going back to the gym finally, Monday, I didn't do it, so I pulled out the big guns. Trish, indefinitely now, is responsible for getting my butt to the gym, which just basically means I have promised her I'm going to the gym, and so she sleeps through it still, but I know that, like I can let myself down, I can't let her down,
so then I go,
and so that's being good, watching a little more Supernatural. Actually in the middle of an episode that could mean something. It's first season, 9 episodes in, they're going back to the house where it all began.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this could actually matter for an overarching plot. It probably won't, but it could. I'm starting to realize, I think, remember how we talked about starting in season 6, the show goes in a completely different direction?
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think that unlike most people, that's the part I would like, and this first part is boring the shit out of me.
Well, the first season is kind of like that.
It's a lot of Monster of the Week, and I could care less.
Yeah, it really is in the first season, but it won't be for very much longer.
All right, good. Because I'm a little worried. I'm already starting to think of, like, what will I watch when I give up on this? But we'll see.
I think you'll be happy if you stick with it. But, yeah, it is that way at the beginning.
Well, and I'll be moving faster as I'm going to the gym more regularly, so that'll help, too. Mm. Mostly, I'm all about this coming weekend.
Why's that?
I should say, I went to the block party last weekend just to see the drag show, because it was really fun. I think the block party is a really cool thing. It's not my thing, because it's still big crowds. But unlike all these other events, like the Jazz Fest and the Art Fest and stuff, which are now very big established things with agendas and big sponsors and people going, they buy things and stuff like that. The block party is really just like, let's all just come and have fun.
Sure.
And I like that. And so it feels like a good vibe when I'm down there. But anyway, this weekend, Jazz Fest. Not doing it. Never really do. It's too fucking hot. But this Saturday, also, protest over the Trump administration's immigration policies and the children getting separated from their parents, which sucks. Today, I decided not to go to that for a couple of reasons. One is, I forgot the Jazz Fest was there, and that's just going to be weird. Technically, it's at 10, and the Jazz Fest events don't start till 11:30, but I'm like, that's just going to get complicated. It's also a heat advisory that starts at the same time.
Yes.
But the big one is, I have a shit ton of other things planned this weekend, of which I am quite stressed, and this was just adding to it. And I'm like, this so what I did instead, I'm not going, but I donated a bunch of money to RACES, or whatever, R-A-I-C-E-S. It's the most visible of the groups right now that are working to deal with this stuff.
Okay.
And before, when I sent you that article about, like, groups you can donate to, they weren't on that. There was four other groups, so this is now a different one.
Okay.
But I've kind of decided to go that way. Because what's happening this weekend is the June 30th game. That's what I'm calling it. Because I can't give away any spoilers about what it actually is. And unfortunately, people who listen quite regularly and seriously to this podcast are involved, so I still can't tell you anything about it because they'll listen until next week. But next week I'm going to tell you a ton about it. But here's the thing. So, I may have mentioned this before. My sister-in-law, Stephanie, recently started watching a lot of videos on, like, YouTube and stuff of people playing role-playing games, like D&D and stuff like that. And she thinks it's really cool, and she's thinking maybe she should get into it, which for years I've been like, she's perfect for role. She would love role-playing games. And so when we were visiting one time, she was like, yeah, I've been thinking about trying to do it, maybe. But she doesn't have a lot of local friends or anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, screw that. We'll do a one-shot. I'll grab my group. We'll do a one-shot. So this is what's going to happen. I'm like, she'll come down for a weekend, and we'll do this kind of thing. I'm like, cool. And so then Trish jumps on the bandwagon,
because
Trish doesn't role play, but it's not that she doesn't like it. She has a confidence issue with it, but she's done it some. She did it at Dave of Id's convention, and she's done a couple things with me. She and I helped play test some of Dave of Id's stuff and things like that. So she's definitely done it, but she's not, like, into it. But she thinks it's cool, and it's a one-time thing, so, you know, whatever. And then Coffee, who's Neuroduck's wife, she's interested because Neuroduck plays in our group. Coffee doesn't. I'm not entirely sure what I think, and Coffee's listening, so she'll correct me tomorrow if I'm wrong. Somehow she had a sort of bad image of role-playing games, which I think may have been conflated with just a bad image of games as, like, a competitive thing. But then she has sat in and watched us play a few times, and she thinks at least what we're doing is cool.
Sure.
She's like, I'm in too. So now I got three people, never gamed before, essentially.
Right.
Gonna game. And four people in my gaming group, so seven people total.
Wow.
Yes, so I gotta build this thing. And what's worse is I have people that I run these by. I have people that I'm like, how's this sound? How does this work? How do I solve this problem? Give me an answer. And they give me ideas and stuff. My top three people in order are my wife, Coffee, and a member of my group. Can't run it by any of them because it's a surprise. Because I want it to be a surprise. It's not a mysterious game, but the premise, I really think the premise is interesting and funny and stuff. And I want it to be a surprise
when
it happens. So it's all out of my head, which means nobody's there to, like, edit or rein me in or anything. So it could be a hot mess, but it's just super my responsibility. I think it's going to go fine. And actually, I did have a friend at work who I talked gaming, and I finally talked to him about it. He's like, no, that sounds awesome. And it's very lighthearted, comedic, because I feel like that's a good intro. You can get into real drama, but I'm like, that's a lot of pressure.
Sure.
Your first time. It's all pre-generated stuff. I've made all the characters and everything. And what's happening is tomorrow night, Friday night, we're all going to meet for dinner just to sort of, like, hang out and, you know, people who don't necessarily know Steph as well. They all know her, but, like, talk more and stuff. And we just get into the group vibe and stuff. I think, assuming everybody's there, I have put together little aids that will sort of give a preview of the game, like the premise without giving too much away yet, and I think that'll be fun, so I might do that night. And then Saturday around noon, we're all going to meet where we normally meet for gaming, and then we're just going to game all day. Like, we'll probably take some breaks, and we'll get dinner at some point and stuff, but probably, like, till 9 or 10 or something. Just, like, all day, just gaming the shit out of this. I tried to build it very modular, so that because I'm very bad at how long something will take. So that I could just, like, take this bit out. But then when I was finally finishing up, I realized I actually have a mechanism that'll end it.
Mm.
And so if I only, if like, oh, we only got, like, an hour before people are going to eat cigarettes, I just throw that in any place I want. Like, I could throw that in the middle of another thing.
Mm.
So I think that'll be fine. Yeah, and I got everything together. I'm very, very excited. I still have to print out a bunch of the stuff, but, like, I did, like, Google image searches for photos that I thought kind of looked like what I think the characters looked like. Mm-hmm. And I put those together and stuff. So I'm excited and very, very nervous.
Nervous.
All at once. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of things. Well, and as I said, you know, good stress is still stress. And it's just, I think it'll go fine.
Sure.
But I also think whatever happens is so much just on me.
Well,
I'm getting my gaming group. I have talked to them, like, you know, I mean, they're all great anyway, but I'm like, you know, we should focus on these things that will help these people. I've set up a buddy system. Of my four people in the gaming group, three of them each are going to be paired with somebody to be their helper for, like, you know, oh, this mechanic does, or have you thought about this, and sure. Stuff like that. And so they're definitely going to be helping, but, yeah, I mean, I put all of this shit together 100% on my own. I haven't even run it by anybody, really. Like... And it's a bunch of people's first time, so it's like their feeling about gaming is going to be based off of this. Like I said, I think it's going to go well, but the stakes just feel really high.
Well, it sounds like you want the new people to walk away with a very positive feeling about this.
Very much.
And want to do this again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That makes the stakes higher than just having a fun time.
Exactly. And also, it has, I mean... One-shots are my thing, because as we know, my one great creative skill is to come up with ideas at random on a moment's notice that are cool. And so one-shots are great for that. I don't have to continue things often. I just say, hey, here's a premise. Pfft, and I'm good at that. So often it goes faster than you would expect. This has been a lot of work.
Sure.
There has been, especially for me, a lot of time and energy put into this. So, yeah, the whole thing just feels like a really big deal. But I'm also really excited. I think it's going to be super fun.
Sure, it will be.
And then Sunday, before Steph goes back home, we're all going to meet for lunch again. And then, like, you know, people can reminisce and stuff like that and say goodbye to her before she goes back. So, yeah, I'm very excited. But, yeah, it's a big deal. So it's been weighing heavily on my mind there.
I'm sure it'll go great.
So I do encourage anybody else in the area. Well, and also this immigration, I think it's called Bringing Families Together. This protest is going on in D.C. and all over the country, as often a lot of these ones are.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you to find it, because this is a huge one, and as is evidenced by the fact that, like, all sorts of disparate governments and nations and celebrities, including ones who really have sided with the Trump administration, are going, this is fucked up.
Sure.
And they did that executive order, which theoretically will stop it from continuing. Theoretically. But they're still working that out. And meanwhile, 2,500 kids already got taken from the parents. And it's being a real shit show getting them back together. And there needs to be pressure on them to make that happen. Them being the administration. Because this is ridiculously not okay. So I encourage people to do that, but if you're doing it in Iowa City or somewhere else that has a heat advisory, make sure you're very well hydrated, things like that.
Right.
And if you can't do it, you know, maybe make a donation. All right, let's hat some things, because we're almost out of hat time. Same hat time, same hat channel. Okay, I don't know how to count. That's fine.
Why does this have two asterisks on it? What does that mean?
I don't know, but I would guess that maybe it was extremely abridged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this person wrote a goddamn novel.
Beth did?
Beth, no. Beth would never do that.
I wouldn't know. Some dummy online thought the Avengers would teach them about shawarma. It didn't, so they did their own research, put a recipe on Pinterest, and I found it. Discuss. What?
You remember the movie The Avengers?
Yeah.
Do you remember the best part about the movie The Avengers?
The best part? You think the best part was the end when they were eating shawarma?
I love that. I love that.
I mean, I remember you thought it was great that now they called it shawarma when Zombie.
I also loved that as well, although I find that it hasn't caught on like I thought
not,
it
not
would.
Really.
So I've kind of had to stop
because
people get confused. No, but I love that because and they set it up in the thing. He's like, afterwards, I think we're getting shawarma. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds delicious. And then we have that shot, and that shot is amazing. But apparently somebody thought they'd learn like what shawarma was or whatever from that.
Hmm.
Which you don't, by the way. It's just a scene that goes on probably 90 seconds of just the Avengers in a what I assume is like a falafel place eating shawarma, and not even in the detail that you can really see real clearly what it is
or even know that's what they're doing, because they don't say anything.
No, but they did earlier, so you can catch
yeah,
on.
If
but
you
yeah,
remember,
you wouldn't
yeah.
necessarily. Yeah, yeah. I think we had that in the thing. We're like, what did the? Oh, and somebody's finally like, there is shawarma. I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, this is a wonderful little fairy tale that's happened here. The important thing, Beth, you have to get on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us how the recipe was, because you better have made it by now. You shouldn't be submitting this. I mean, we need resolution now.
I don't think I even know what shawarma is.
Shawarma is... I mean, I couldn't give you a lot of... It's another kind of Middle Eastern meat dish. Like there's kebabs.
Mm-hmm.
There's also shawarma. And shawarma is different. There's also kofta, which is a beef thing like that. Shawarma is a different version of that. I think it's heavier with garlic often. You can have, unlike some of these others, you can have different versions. Like kofta is a beef thing. But shawarma, you can have chicken shawarma, you can have lamb shawarma,
okay.
That kind of thing. But it's a similar deal. Usually you got some pita bread going and you put it in there. It's a Middle Eastern sandwich meat filling.
Hmm.
And it's tasty. I'm frequently a big fan of shawarma.
Okay.
There's ways you can do it that kind of dry it out that I don't like as well, but... I'm a fan of shawarma, but yeah, I think it's a funny roundabout little story that only ends once you've made it and tell us how it is. Otherwise, this is just a part. This is like a dream you had. Like it doesn't have any structure that we understand here by itself. So work on it. So tell us how it was.
Why would a person think they were going to learn anything about shawarma from a movie?
I mean, I could envision a movie in which there are movies where food plays a big part.
True.
I've learned about certain foods that way. No, this person was clearly an idiot. I mean, I take that back. They might be an idiot. Given the circumstance, what is more likely is this person clearly has shitty friends who are pranking them.
Oh, okay.
Because... yeah, I don't know what information you would get about the movie that would lead you to believe that. Unless you had friends that were like, yeah, we learned all about shawarma. Which, like, I guess they could still be an idiot where they talk about, if they say, like, yeah, and at the end they have this thing about shawarma, and I didn't even know what that was, and now I do, and they're like, oh, I don't know what that is either, so now I'll learn.
But they must have said something in their, was it Pinterest, did she say?
Pinterest, yeah.
That said, well, Avengers didn't tell me anything about shawarma, so I
clearly
had to look
there's
it up.
Like a story, which admittedly
they,
is a good
why story. Would they say
I don't
that?
Know. Do you know what Pinterest is?
I mean, you just... Not really. I mean...
That one has lost me. I feel like I eventually figured out what Tumblr was, essentially. I understand Snapchat.
It's pictures. I know that. I know now when I do image searches, I get Pinterest results a lot, which is annoying because when you try to look at those images or try to see where they're from, it's Pinterest. And so, and sometimes they'll ask you to log in or something. I don't want to log in. I just want to, but of course, once I find out it's from Pinterest, that doesn't do me any good anyway. Because usually if I see a photo, because a lot of times I'll do photo searches for like maps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want, the reason I'll click on that image is because I'm hoping that there's an article that goes along with the map to tell me about the area.
There's just a Pinterest.
Yeah, then it's just a Pinterest.
But what is that? Like, it appears to be like things that people are interested in.
Yeah.
So like I'm interested in shawarma.
But it's photo based.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that mean? It's not, we don't just collect how many people are interested in shawarma. Like, then shit happens.
Well, like,
they trade images, or,
well, I mean,
they collect images. I mean, I don't.
I've seen Pinterest accounts. Well, like, you can go to Pinterest, and you can put in a topic, and it'll show you all of the Pinterest postings that are relevant to that topic.
Okay, in that case, I guess, how is it different from Tumblr?
I don't know. I don't know how it's different from any. I mean, I suppose because that's its main thing. Like, I'm interested in any post about the Eiffel Tower, so I'll see Pinterest.
That's all I use Tumblr for. I mean, I guess there are, like,
I thought Tumblr was accounts. More of a.
It's a blog thing, but I only ever go and I'm like, hey, I want to see more about this, and I'll see pictures and stories and posts and things about something.
I think Pinterest is mostly just photographs. Like, let's say I want to see everybody's vacation photos from the Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon, and I'll see everybody's vacation photos from the Grand Canyon.
Right.
I won't see anything else. No other information, captions on the photos, and information, basic information. What if I'm interested in seeing the photographs people have taken of their collection of Transformer toys? Let's put that in there, and I get a whole bunch of pictures of people's Transformer toys.
We didn't talk about the people who are wresting control of the Star Wars franchise back.
Oh, gosh.
I wanted to spend most of the
hour
talking about that.
I saw a new article about that where some guy from this movement. Well, should you tell people about it?
Well, we got to hurry on this, so I'll try and do
just
quick.
Just make it brief, yeah.
Well, there's two things that may or may not be related. Last week, somebody started a thing where they said, we hated The Last Jedi, and we're going to remake a non-shitty version of it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I saw.
And we'll need a bunch of people. This is not a white male thing. We want people of all sorts. We're not getting rid of the female characters. We're going to do cool stuff with them. We just think that was shitty, and we're going to have all the fans give us ideas, and it's going to be awesome. Also, once this is big enough, Disney will talk to us, and then we can work out a deal. Also, we're going to need $350 million, but we've got a lot of people, rich people, already supporting us for that. In fact, I saw a thing recently that claims they already hit $150 million, which I'm like, no, you did not. So now I'm wondering if that whole thing isn't just a scam to get some money. I don't know. But then, on top of that, again, may or may not be related, somebody on Twitter created a manifesto, and I absolutely mean that in everything it means.
Like a Declaration of Independence, even.
Like a goddamn terrorist. about, basically, and it's not, that's not just The Last Jedi. They also hate Force Awakens.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically they hate everything that Disney's done. And I had sent this to people, and I'm like, I should feel sad for these people. It's sad, like this. But I can't stop finding it hilarious, because the hubris combined with the idiocy is amazing.
Yeah. And the ignorance.
It's, yeah, like,
about how things
because,
work.
Because, well, first of all, yeah, they're really mad about a lot of stuff, and it's very specific bullshit. They didn't like the movies. They didn't like what was done with the old characters, stuff like that. Trish supports them because she also didn't like the scene where Leia flew. Nobody liked it except maybe me. And I only like it because of a game I played in a Star Wars game that actually made that work. But anyway, but they didn't like all that stuff. They also are mad that, I guess they think Disney is calling them misogynist and racist and, you know, man children and stuff like, and all these terrible things, and telling them these aren't for you and all this stuff, which people are definitely saying that, not Disney.
No.
Those are people on Twitter.
Although I think,
and me,
I think Kathleen Kennedy did say when someone asked her what obligation she felt toward these particular fans, she said, I don't feel any obligation.
And you know,
which she shouldn't.
Ryan Johnson and Mark Hamill have shot a little bit, although they tend to be shooting specifically at the fucking misogynists. And this manifesto does have a bit about propagating a belief structure of masculine inferiority. Mm-hmm. That's in there. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh my God, you're dead to me now. Like, if I had any shred of sympathy, fuck y'all. But so, first of all, they're confused about that. Second of all, the sheer hubris to think that it's up to them, that they own this somehow because of their fans, and that somehow they're in the majority, like the movies didn't make more money than any Star Wars movie before them, which they did. Mm. And you know why? Because hundreds of thousands of people thought they were just fine. Mm-hmm. And then also this idea that they have power to do anything. They do... At the end, they sort of express that they have power with their wallet, which I'm like, absolutely, this is what you do. And this is what made me think of it, because I think the Transformers movies, the Michael Bay Transformers movies, should be considered war crimes. But I have made no attempt to wrest control of the franchise, to start a revolution, nor has it done anything to my love of the original show.
Right. Or toys.
Yes.
Because the toys are awesome.
I mean, would I kick Michael Bay in the crotch if I met him? Yes, but that's for a lot of reasons, not just related to the Transformers movies. And so it's just fucking hilarious to me. And I feel it is 100% schadenfreude. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you racist, misogynist, man-children, fanboys? Like, I am absolutely there. And I feel like I'm a bad person for it, but I cannot... stop being amused.
No, and we're both bad people.
At how swollen the ego and tiny the brain. It's just amazing.
And they don't get, which surprises me, that they don't understand why people think they're being sexist. They think it's just because they don't like it. Well, I know a lot of women who don't like it. That's not the point.
No.
The point here is when a woman or a person of color is cast, and you immediately think it's for political reasons and not a perfectly valid story reason. When you accuse someone of having an agenda who doesn't have an agenda, you're the one with an agenda.
Yep.
And that's just how it works.
But to be fair, I do think they do have an agenda. I'm in favor of it. They're trying to make the movies more diverse.
Maybe a representation agenda.
Yeah.
But even if they do, they're complaining out of the gate about these characters' gender or race. They're not even giving it a chance.
Before the movies happen, in some cases.
If you instantly think anything with a female lead or a lead of color is political, just out of the gate, well, then you're the one who has a problem.
Well, and also, how do you think movies work?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Do you think that a bunch of people... hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, depending on how you calculate it, of people went to see this movie. Let's go with the first one, the seventh one, whatever. And we're like, oh, I really hate what they did, but I guess I have to keep going. And that now they're like, oh, wait, some dude on the internet tells me there's a better way? And then suddenly they're going to stop? No. And unless you're... and I give you so much, too much credit for saying, movement has enough of the people who would buy tickets no longer buying tickets, your movement doesn't mean shit. So what I'm saying is, your movement doesn't mean shit. And there's a ongoing pun in there that I happily embrace.
Well, you know, the problem is that the Solo movie didn't do very well.
Yeah, it only made $385 million.
Well, but a lot of people like this person and these two people are taking credit for it. Like, they caused that to happen.
Well, okay, then with Episode 9, they will see.
But they didn't.
No,
But they think...
And Episode 9 is going to make all the money.
Well, we'll see.
I don't even particularly want to. I'm not that into it anymore. And I also won't care that much. If somehow this succeeded, I don't know that I would care that much.
But it
just won't. It just... clearly won't.
The stupidity stuns
me. And it shouldn't.
I mean, the whole point, not the whole point, it makes a point to cast a female or a person of color to prove that, hey, it doesn't matter. You can still have a great movie with a woman or a person of color. So what you're proving that it doesn't matter, and they're insisting that it does.
Yeah.
That it changes the story somehow, and it's significantly different. And they don't see how that's racist or sexist. That's unbelievable, their ignorance and blindness to their own insanity, I guess.
If you'd like to be racist or ignorant, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us your feelings. Laugh with us. And then we will see you next week, because we're over time. And I can only stand this guy for an hour. So go on Pinterest and like us or be interested in it. I don't know. We're probably not there, but do it. Why not? Go for it. What have you got to lose?
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.